Blog Talk Radio.
Today, John Locke, the great English writer, political philosopher. Oliver Wendell Holmes, he served in the American Civil War, is from Massachusetts. He was one of the associate justices of the U.S. Supreme Court, and there's a famous movie out starring, I forgot his name, big nose there. Anyway, out during the 40s, and the thing about Holmes was he made a mistake, a grave mistake, in making the statement that you don't have the right to cry fire in a crowded theater. And he later realized what he had said, and he regretted it. But unfortunately, these are phrases like this are among the canards in the legal lexicon, because that isn't quite true either. When you turn the key in your automobile, those of us who have automobiles, the man who invented them, the automatic starter, was Charles Kettering. You didn't have to get outside and crank up that old Model T. Great French actor with a beautiful French Gallic accent, Charles Boyer. Another great actor, one of my favorite films of him, he usually played the villain. He had this kind of heavy, gravelly voice. Unfortunately, we didn't get our audio up in time. George McCready, born today. One of the generals in NATO, chief of staff during the Kennedy administration, chief of the Army, chief of the Armed Services, chief of staff in the Pentagon, General Lyman Lemnitzer. Ingrid Bergman was both born today and she died today at age 67. George Montgomery, another actor, played in a lot of westerns. Charlie the Bird Parker, he had a drug problem, great saxophone player. Richard Attenborough, a famous movie, Gandhi, Lawrence of Arabia. Donald O'Connor, born in Chicago, a hoofer. Elliot Gould, the ex-husband of Barbara Streisand. Peter Jennings, a Canadian who used to have the nightly news on ABC. He was also at the Bilderbergs conference and stirred up a lot of controversy. Why was he there? Famous director, The French Connection, William Friedkin, is born today, and the very late and not necessarily lamented Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5, born in Gary, Indiana. Among the deaths today, we don't know the exact year, John the Baptist lost his head, was given to Salome. Brigham Young was murdered today. I hope this has nothing to do date-wise with our first Mormon who has been nominated president of the United States. Atahualpa, the Indian chief, the Inca chief, excuse me, in Peru, was murdered by the Spanish on this day. Eman de Valera, who was in the Easter Rebellions. Now, he's very interesting. The de Valera was his Spanish part. Eman was his Irish part. His mother was Irish. His father was Spanish. He was an American citizen, and he was saved from execution in the Irish Easter Rebellion after World War One. And see the movie Michael Collins. It's very accurate as to Eman de Valera's role. He lived to be about 93. He was called the chief. Very conservative on Catholic morals and values, and he stayed as president of Ireland for too long. Let's see who else we have today. Lowell Thomas, who also followed Lawrence of Arabia, and he's depicted in Sir Richard Attenborough's film. And, of course, Ingrid Bergman died on her birthday, 67 years old. And we have Lee Marvin, great actor, U.S. Marine, went to Catholic boarding school. He's the father of, no pun intended, of the business of palimony, where he was shacking up with this woman, or she was shacking up with him, and then they broke up, and she demanded some of his wealth, and he fought it. But he died. He died at an early age. He died in his 60s also. Died in Arizona. Great actor. Cat Ballou is one of his great films. And many other films. He played villains and really great actor and a real he-man. In 1758, on this day, the first Indian reservation was set up. Also during this period, Shays Rebellion in Massachusetts, General General Washington had to go and put it down. On this day in the Civil War, the Second Battle of Manassas, or Bull Run, was fought. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing was set up. The guy who whose name is Daimler, the part of Mercedes-Benz, Gottfried Daimler invented the motorcycle. The Germans also invented the bicycle, but it hasn't caught on there as much as it's caught on in countries like England and Denmark and, of course, in San Francisco. And do you like chop suey? Well, it's not a Chinese dish. In 1896, chop suey was concocted by the chef of the then Chinese ambassador to the United States. He had to whip up something special, and he invented it. Not the ambassador, but the chef. And it could all kinds of things could be in it. In 1939, Chaim Weizmann, who was the head of the world Zionist, he told England that we will fight. And, of course, they expected the Balfour Declaration to be fulfilled, where the Jews could emigrate to a homeland, which was then Palestine and later became Israel in 1948. 1949, the Russians exploded the first atomic bomb. 1957, the first Civil Rights Act was passed. And, of course, Strom Thurmond, who was also the 1948 presidential candidate for the Dixiecrats, he filibustered against it, but he lost. On this day, in 1955, the United States Air Force Academy was set up. The Air Force used to be part of the Army Air Corps, but Navy kept their Air Force, and the Army Air Corps was split off and became the U.S. Air Force, so that became a separate department of the Pentagon. 1955 was set up in Colorado. And the Black Panthers had a run-in with the Philadelphia cops. And John Kennedy Jr., the late John Kennedy Jr., studied to be a lawyer. He won his first law case on this date. It's either today or tomorrow. The founder of Chicago, a black, which is unusual because considering Chicago's history for black racism against black and the riots, the many blacks that were killed and the problems between the ethnic groups and the blacks. And interestingly, well, get into that after this, but Jean-Jacques Dusable, French and probably from Africa, he was the founder of Chicago, and the name Chicago is a Menominee Indian word, which means land of the steaking onion. And I guess when the Indians who were the Menominee are from Wisconsin, when they first came to this patch of land, it smelled like stinking onions, and they called it Chicago. Also, one of the worst murders of a youth, a black youth who didn't even live in the South, occurred on the state. Emmett Till was brutally murdered in Mississippi. He had come from Chicago to visit relatives in Mississippi, and he was at a store owned by whites, and they accused him of trying to hustle a white woman. Her relatives kidnapped him, brutally beat him, and then murdered him and threw his body into the river, into a pond. And the mother brought the body back to Chicago, and it became the focus of a lot of civil rights agitation. I can't think of a better word for blacks to get equal rights with white folk. And it's still remembered today, the Emmett Till story, a horrible, horrible chapter in America's racist history. Or racism in American history, because not all Americans are racist. Now, Herman Cain was interviewed on Fox TV the other day, and he did not refer to blacks, and he's as black as anthracite coal. He did not refer to blacks as African Americans. He called them American blacks, which is more accurate, just like we have the term American Indian, which is accurate. And it's time that people realize that not all black people come from Africa or their descendants are from Africa. We have black people from Ceylon or Sri Lanka. Dinesh D'Souza is an example of someone who's is almost black. I think he's from Portuguese Goa in that part of the world. We have blacks from the Philippines and the island of Negritos. We have blacks from India. So, you know, just because someone's black doesn't mean he or she is from Africa or their ancestors are from Africa. Here's a public policy question. Isn't it time that bicyclists be required to pay for license plates yearly, just like people who own cars, purchase liability insurance in case they hit somebody? And we've already had two deaths here in San Francisco by a reckless bicyclists who demanded that pedestrians get out of the way, and when the pedestrians had the right of way. Should they also be required to put safety devices, a red light, a stoplight on the back, and a searchlight or a little spotlight on the front? And a warning, like a little bell or something. You remember when you were a kid, those of us who were kids and had tricycles, you had a little bell on the handlebars and you rang it to warn people you're coming and get out of the way. And, of course, you were a kid. We need to bring these things back because these bicycles can cost as much as $5,000. And people who spend that kind of money, or even $1,000 for a bicycle, are considered part of the leisure class. And it's time that they pay for some of the improvements on the road for their lanes. The bicycle lanes can cost as much as $30,000 to put one in a block, plus all the signs and the special bike racks and showers in office buildings so that bicyclists who bicycle to work don't come in smelling of BO and body odor, and they can take a shower before they go in their office and sit next to someone who either drove down or took the bus down or the subway to work. So it's time that we put an end to this leisure class and have them pay their full share of the freight. They put their wheels on the road. They should obey the rules of the road, and we know all across the country these damn bicyclists don't. Now, we're not talking about the bicyclists who have bicycles to deliver, like couriers who work to pick up material from offices and bring them either file them in the courts or to another office. We're not talking about those people who struggle to make a living and don't have time to enjoy the latte leisure class of these people who can afford the expensive bicycles. And also some of these people also like cocaine. Now, it used to be 10, 15 years ago, major bicyclists, the ones who weren't on campus or in the suburbs, the bicyclists, especially in ghetto areas, were drug dealers. And the reason they used bikes is because the cops couldn't catch them. And bicycles could go where cars couldn't, and motorcycles weren't used at night by the police forces. That's all changing. We now see a generation of people who think that they should have a bicycle and they have special rights, privileges, and exemption. Well, they don't. And it's time that all these people who are complaining privately about bicyclists and the mayhem that they're causing on the streets start speaking up and demanding that these bicyclists be licensed, purchase liability insurance, and install safety warning devices on their bicycles and observe the rules of the road, a 4-point mandatory program. We're going to bring up something on George Christopher, who's responsible for bringing the Giants to San Francisco. He talked Horace Stoneman into moving the franchise to San Francisco instead of to L.A. George Christopher was the late, great, last honest, competent, ethical mayor of San Francisco and a great businessman, and he's one who saved diplomatic relationships between the United States and Russia after the U-2 incident where Francis Gregory Powers was flying a spy plane over Russia. And before the proposed summit between Khrushchev and Eisenhower, and we didn't realize that the Russians had missiles that could bring down our spy planes, and they did. And it was very embarrassing, to say the least. But we owe the salvaging of our diplomatic relations at that time to the efforts of the great George Christopher. I'm going to play again, since we like Lyndon Johnson, since he we like to talk about presidents who have gone to the dogs, and this is part of our political animals. So we'll play this right now, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and he was probably the most dog-oriented president in the last 40 years in the White House. I don't think Mr. O pays much attention to that Portuguese water spaniel, even when the press is out. We could say other things, but I won't. And incidentally, Eisenhower was given a Weimaraner when he became president, and Mamie was given a rug which had all 48 states at that time. And it was sewn in this big rug, and the Weimaraner peed on Texas, and I don't know what you did with the rug. Well, here we'll play LBJ Goes to the Dogs.
Come on, sit down. Come on. Sit down. Dogs have always been my friends. I remember my first dog was named Rover, and he and I would take strolls along the river and through the oat fields and down the road together. From my earliest memory, when I was 3 or 4 years old, I remember one time that my mother became very frightened when she missed me and couldn't find me. She had two smaller children in the house and couldn't locate me. So she started down the road, and she went to the school, and she went to the river. She went all through the back pasture, and I was nowhere to be found. So she went out in the field and got my father where he was working and told her what had happened.
Because I guarantee you I'm going to win.
And together they looked for an hour for me. And finally, my father saw the oats moving, waving just a little bit. He tried to determine whether it was the wind blowing them or someone walking through them. The oats were above my head and above Rover's head. And finally he said, "I believe there's someone walking in that field over there." And while Mother stood and held the baby in her arms, he went where the waving was taking place in the oaks, and he found me along with my dog Rover. And he asked me why I had left, and I had to give an explanation on the spot. It was a difficult one. I just said Rover wanted to see the country, and I wanted him to see it. And we've had many dogs during these years. Now we have Yuki. And I think they saved the best for the last. He is the friendliest and the smartest and the most constant in his attentions of all the dogs that I've known. He was a wanderer and adventurer too. And he was running along the highway down to Johnson City. And my daughter was coming here for Thanksgiving dinner. And she saw this little dog, and she stopped and called him. He ran to the car. She went back to the filling station and said, "Who does that dog belong to?" The man told her he didn't belong to anyone in Johnson City, that he must have just wandered in here or jumped out of someone's car, or we have always thought maybe he was with a circus because he was so well trained. So Lucy picked him up, and she has a love for dogs too, and brought him to me when she came to Thanksgiving dinner. And Yuki's been here ever since. We left word that if the owner ever asked about him, to direct him here. But I'm glad that the owner never missed him, because I surely would if he left me.
He's gonna.
Well, if you don't get him, if you don't get some flea powder in a bath, he wants to go in the car.
Yeah.
You want to go out and ride? You want to go to see the cattle? You want to go see him? Do you? You want to come? Whoa! Come on, sing for me. Come on, sing for me.
Oh, you silly dog.
That was the late, great Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was also responsible for giving us the Great Society. And unfortunately, it's become the Greedy Society with a lot of these bogus nonprofits. And the people who are, we're going to expose them, who are not only double dipping, some are triple dipping, and a few are quadruple dipping. So we'll expose these people in documents showing what they've gotten away with so far and how you can get some of this money, if not all of it, back under QUETAM. So we'll end today. We'll be back Friday, and we just did an interview. We're going to do part of it with a legal secretary who had, I think it's 30, 40 years experience, and her firm shut down, and she was making about $80,000 and $90,000 a year, quite a bit of money. And anyway, her name was Carolyn, and we'll feature part of her interview because we have to redo some of it. We had technical problems. So that'll probably be Friday, and then we'll be back Friday at 4 o'clock, and we'll have some more political animals, and we'll have something that a little-known suggestion from Lyndon Baines Johnson when Hubert Humphrey was being nominated, or he was the nominee designate for the Democrats in 1968, what Lyndon Johnson told him he ought to do. So we'll end tonight with what the politicians might be doing. And that is our favorite, politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of? Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet.
Where's the call of the
fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
little trade's good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll hold. I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Vanyashinkovic, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the
Peter Paul Pizzola will be back Friday at 4 o'clock, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site to see the latest GAN to arrive in San Francisco at Amicus Veritas YouTube, AMICUSVERITAS. It's Peter Paul. Good night.